Warning, this podcast has stories of real-life events and true crime that happens every day. These stories may contain adult language and graphic or disturbing details not suitable for everyone. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to another episode of War Stories. There is no Tom, and I'm Chuck. And we have back today, we have Julian from Syria, Mounted Cavalry Part 2 that we left off with you guys last week. So what's up, Julian? How have you been?
I've been tired, man. I've been real tired just working away.
You? Oh, yeah? What have you been doing at work?
I'm a pipe welder, so I just... You know, I just sit there and weld all day and then come home.
Yeah.
And go to the gym.
Do you use that line, or did you use that line, you know, I lay pipe for a living?
No, I unfortunately have not. But I probably, you know, it's a little too late for that one, but I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it later and see how it works out for me.
Oh, if I'm mistaken, weren't you with your old lady like the whole time?
No.
So you could have used that, or you just became a pipe welder.
I became a pipe welder after.
Oh, dude, you missed out on some awesome, like, punny pipe jokes.
Yeah, I could have really used it, right?
Oh, damn. Yeah. Oh, shit. I would still use it with my boys. just to fuck with them. Yeah. Well, we were kind of talking with some stuff prior, getting things ready for the show, and I just noticed, like, there's been so many cops, I think, what, 7 or some crazy number in the last week of just.
Yeah,
been,
I think you said like 9.
7 or 9. I don't know what the exact number, but I remember seeing something and it was god awful. It's a crazy amount. And we were kind of chatting before, and I've worked under, I enlisted under Bush, then Obama. I was under Obama, and then I got out, and then I came into the police department under Obama, which was fucking great, and then went under Trump and then the Biden regime, and I can tell you this, working under Biden and Obama, I had never felt so scared in my life to wear the badge, to drive a cop car, to just do the job. Yeah, that, because I was at a time and point where I was kind of early on in my career, where cops were being followed home and murked at their house, like ambushed at their house. And there was a few, and it was like, I remember it like it was yet the other day. I was working in an area that shall remain nameless, the Rock area. And we were kind of sitting back one night and just decided to pull into the back of, this is going to give it away, but LASO Air, like their air attack squadron, basically for the hills and the valley and stuff. And they had a big flight line, and then we would kind of go sit back there, go through a gate where you'd feel safe because there was a guarded gate, but you could sit behind a concrete wall and look at like the helicopters and the planes from the airport and stuff, because it was like adjacent or catty corner to the airport. And we would kind of sit there in the middle of the night because nowhere was safe where we were working. It was ghetto as shit. But that was at the same time that there were like warnings for cops, like, hey, take your Thin Blue Line stickers off your car. Cops are being followed home. Like, they're being ambushed at their houses. And it was some serious shit. Like, this was going on roll call. And then, you know, we go under Trump, and Trump was fucking great. I know everyone's like, oh, it's polarizing. Nah, it's just because one side, it's political. We're not going to get into it. But yeah. I never felt safer as a cop or more protected as a cop under Trump, regardless of my agency or not. But, I just felt, for some reason, I just felt safer. And now all of a sudden I got to, you know, jump back in time this last week, because it was another week where so many cops were just killed, murdered. Yeah. Just, it's fucking crazy. And it brings me back to that time under Obama and Biden, and now it's under Biden regime, and the same shit's happening again. You know, we had, was it Diller who was murdered in New York? Yeah. And 2 days later, two more coppers out there in New York were murdered. But, you know, it's just the same shit over and over again, perpetuating the same evil and the same patterns. He didn't go to the funerals. He went to something other fundraiser. Yeah. What, you know, the funeral of the cop. He didn't go. He didn't show his face, and he probably should have if he was going to be in New York. It's a massive turnout. Like, it was one of the biggest funeral processions. Yeah, one of the biggest funeral processions I have seen, and you know, it was just so sad. But now, you know, I was just looking, and we have a lot to choose from today for a dedication. So we're going to get into that at the end of the show, but it's kind of hard to choose because we have so many, and it's sad that we do have so many.
We just had one in Chicago. I read about it. He was in uniform on his way home in his civilian car, mm-hmm. and you know, they stopped him. Awful.
Yep. There was just a cop out here. It was just shot in the back off his motorcycle. And I mean, it was a patrol bike, patrol motor. Mm-hmm. He was just shot in his back. I mean, luckily the vest stopped it, but he was transported to the hospital. He's stable condition. He's okay. But it's just these crazy, like, brazen attacks. We had another one out where I live, Klinkenbroom, Broomer, was murdered in his police car in front of the Lancaster police station or sheriff station. You know, it's crazy. But moving on from that and getting into the show, you're part of Mounted and all that stuff. And, mm-hmm. You know, you're the Mounted Cavalry, Cav, as they would say. And you were in Syria.
Yeah, definitely not where I expected to be, you know, as a 20-year-old on my first deployment. Yeah, because you were
in Afghanistan, right?
No, we stopped. We were supposed to be in Buren in Kuwait for 9 months. Wait,
that's right. That's right. That's right. And, sorry.
No, you're fine.
Sorry, I've been in college all day, dude.
It's fine.
I've been freaking pounding my brain away into this fucking keyboard. Left. No, dude. Up until the show, I was prepping a study guide because not only did I just start school again to get a second degree and second bachelor's degree in cybersecurity, it's fucking great. But I'm also prepping for a massive test for cybersecurity so that I could start working as a cybersecurity analyst prior to graduating school so that I can get a jump forward instead of having to go into like a security analyst once I medically retire.
Great idea.
Instead of doing that and then kind of working my ass backwards way into this aerospace security field and cybersecurity dudes, those dudes make a killing just that's so bad. Much money. But yeah, it's crazy, dude. I was looking at like in the private sector, not on like the government side or like mm-hmm. the quasi government, like Skunk Works, Northrop, Boeing, shit like that. Lockheed Martin. They make like the private sector for like the studios and shit like that, starting off at like 200,000, 180. And this is one of the major qualifications, certifications that you have to have. So I've been studying, making a study guide for that while doing college and starting. So if my brain, if I'm not remembering shit correctly, just smack me in the face.
No metaphorically, worries at all.
Kick my dick in the dirt and get me back on track. All right.
Yeah. No worries at all.
Apologize for the listeners. Hey, Tom's not here this week. Sorry. He had shit he's got to do. Unfortunately, I'm going to be running the show at the helm, but he'll be back shortly. He's just got a lot of family stuff he's taking care of, some work stuff and some play stuff that he's running to play. So with all that being said, let's get right back into it. So you were in Syria and a thing called Radio Hill.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You had Russians on one side with the Russian flags flying, the mm-hmm. Turkish flags on one side, and a bunch of fuck ton of ISIS right in the center.
Yeah. I mean, it was ISIS and all the little subgroups like PKK, you know, little groups like that.
Right.
On the map, it's called, like, I still have my map. I probably shouldn't have said that, but I still have the map and everything. it's in my safe, but it was called Radio Hill, but we called it Fob Bandit because our, troop name was Bandit.
Right.
And like I said, you know, we didn't have really anything. You know, SF was getting ready to go down to Raqqa. At that point, it was the ISIS stronghold. And, you know, we got sent out with our full battle rattle, you know, 210 rounds on a person. and that was about it. You know, we did the resupply at KLZ was 2 hours away.
Right. So if you got into the shit and you needed a resupply.
Yeah. We were kind of like sitting in the dirt.
Yeah. How many rounds did you have on standby if the shit went sideways? Because you're probably carrying what, like,
we only had two
mags on you?
210 a person, 210 rounds a person.
That's nothing.
Yeah. And so
through your whole FOB?
Yeah. So like obviously it varied with like our 240s or
right,
you know, the 50 cals on the trucks or our saw right. gunners. But yeah, I mean that's, you know, we had a couple of 203s, but we didn't really have anything to put up a really good fight. You know, like we're superior to any other fighting force, but you know, you can only put up a good fight for a while with 210 yeah. rounds a person, you know, and you got to think about it. Like I said, this is all of our first deployments. We're probably going to be trigger happy, you know? And, right. and
that die motherfucker die on the 50 is going to be like, more like die.
Yeah. You're wasting all just going to be like, yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, ah, shit, maybe I should come off my barrel's red.
Yeah. I don't even know how much we had to go back to at KLZ. Like we didn't have a surplus at the FOB. We didn't really have anything. And so we showed up, it was such a shit show because, you know, like I said, I'm pretty sure I said this in the last episode, headquarters unit was inside the building and there was not enough room for our platoon. So we were up on the roof and we're on cots and it was raining every single day, every single night. You know, it was just downpouring, right? Freezing rain. It was awful. Get those
poncho liners up.
Yeah, that's all we had.
Bro.
And it was god awful, dude. And we didn't have any source of showers, which, you know.
You got to shower every night, bro.
Yeah, we didn't have it, which was expected.
No, honestly. You got to shower every night because it was raining on you.
Yeah, but I wanted to stay dry so I can go to sleep.
Yeah, no, I get it.
You know, the most sleep I got over there, I think I counted, was like 3 hours. And because we were just fucking going 24/7, we were going. We only had MREs. We didn't have any laundry possibilities. So we were all salt lined in our uniforms.
Oh, I bet you those things could stand on their own.
Oh, yeah, they could. You know, like I kept my boots, you know, in my sleep system, obviously. And God, that reeked. It reeked, man.
I can only imagine peeling off your socks and they're sticking to you. And you're like, fuck, I got to put
They're all like hard and crusty. Yeah. I hated it.
Your foot turning yellow because of all the dead skin.
Yeah. Because it was soaked. Everything was muddy, you know. So, you know, I had the Garmont boots and they weren't really waterproof. No boots are waterproof. But we were running missions. Our main missions were presence. And, you know, show of force. And for the first couple weeks, we were with SF. They were in their nice ass up armored, like Hiluxes, you know, blacked out, you know, roll cages, you know, badasses, man. And when they took off, we were kind of still learning the area. But we had it down and we were kind of just relying on the Kurdish to kind of show us around.
Right.
And,
that was the Kurds, the YPG, were the females?
No, YPJ. Was it the YPJ? The yeah.
Did you guys get to work with them?
No, we honestly saw them like once or twice the entire time we were there, and they were just like such a like a folk's tale. Like if you saw them, it was like you see the president almost, like because they're so hyped up. And like everybody praised them and everything like that. So if you saw them, you're like, holy shit, they're real.
Right. ISIS don't like them because they don't want to be killed by a woman.
Exactly. And they had high numbers from what we were told. They had pretty high kill numbers. And so we, like throughout our time being there, we had made up like little checkpoints. And it was buildings along the flot that we would be able to sit at, you know, pull up an LRAS. We would do overnight missions where we'd sit and observe, you know, because we're scouts, we're cavalry.
Right.
You know, we had this one dude, his name was Jagdar, right? It was a Kurdish guy. And he would always end up riding in my truck because we're a lead scout. And I was the driver at the time. And he obviously didn't speak any English. And the Terp was always in the LT's truck, you know, keep him the most safe. And, you know, this guy was, he was trying to translate himself, like what he was trying to talk about. And I'm pretty sure the word was Chaka or Jaka, but he was talking about throw. He was talking about like, you have to, you know, they throw grenades sometimes. And this dude, like he's sitting in the back seat with my dismount and he's like yelling at us because we have the internal comms and he doesn't have a headset. Right. You know, he's yelling at us, trying to get us to understand. This man opens his window and just starts whipping our fucking waters out the window. And he's like trying to tell us, you know, Chaka or whatever he's saying. He's just whipping our waters out the window. And Sergeant Hillian fucking lost his mind, you know, because we have to go 2 hours back to KLZ to get more water. And this dude's just launching them as we're going down the road. I don't know. That was a weird part of it. And then
what was he trying to like let you guys know?
That like if he says Chaka or that like we need to pay attention to him, I don't know, but the whole throwing the waters out the window didn't just pissed us off. It didn't teach us
anything. Yeah, because that's what if you're thirsty?
Yeah, exactly.
You only have so much in a fucking Camelback and the rest are only little water bottles that are hot as fuck.
Yeah. It was awful.
Now you're getting rid of it?
Yeah, he's just whipping them. Bro. But we went out, so like my very first butt pucker was like seeing tracers, you know, that tracers were just like fireworks on the 4th of July. They were so consistent and, you know, all over the place because there was fighting all over the goddamn place. Not with us. Like they didn't really try us too much until like the very end. But, you know, my first butt pucker was watching the tracers, you know, come pretty close to us. And I was like, all right, cool. Like maybe we'll get into a contact, you know, and it didn't happen for quite a while. And we ended up going on this mission and it was going to be an overnight on one of our little checkpoints. And I had, I think a couple of days before that, I got promoted to the LT's gunner. And so I had a 50 cal. I was so happy about it, you know, going to that.
Right.
That master gunner school, I treated that thing like it was a newborn. So that thing was completely clean all the time. Like every single thing was checked and perfect. And I was like,
did you keep your headspace and timing fucking thing on your keychain?
We didn't have to with the new version.
No, I mean, like, did you kind of sneak it home and carry it? If you were like, oh, what's that?
I wish.
That'd be pretty cool.
I do have a... I probably shouldn't say that, but yeah.
You don't have anything, dude.
I don't have anything.
What you have is probably what you got from a surplus store, right?
I got issued everything I have, right?
No, you got issued everything you turned into Sif.
Yeah.
What you have now.
Some of the things they didn't take back. They didn't take it back.
Yeah.
But no, we're going on this mission. It was supposed to be an overnight. And so how we would do it, we would just do sections. We wouldn't do... like full platoon rollouts.
Right.
So it was just our section. So it was the 1-2-3 truck. I was the one truck now. And so how we would do it is we would bring a team of dismounts and then we'd set the trucks in, you know, tactical areas so that we're not close to the checkpoint in case it gets hit and we can be able to pull in, extract and get out. But it was there to be cover and, you know, guards. We were guards for the checkpoint. And then we would release the dismounts on top of the roof with, you know, all of our thermal imaging, stuff like that. And we were sitting there and I was facing north by northeast and, you know, just traversing, looking through my nods. And we were all talking shit over the radio. There wasn't really good, like radio silence. Like we were always talking shit or telling stories. And from
you have crypto loaded in your shit. So no.
Oh yeah, we did. But like if anything went down, like it would have taken like a little longer since we were talking so much to like break all the communication.
Yeah. Did you guys yell break, break, break if something was like really fucking
important? Yeah. But that goes back to like me saying in the last episode, we got complacent. we got really complacent because nothing was happening. Yeah.
It happens, bro, dude. Yeah, it happens in law enforcement. It happens in every fucking facet of everything. And that's why they say complacency kills.
Yeah.
Or absolutely. You've been in, or another one, tombstone courage. Have you ever heard that?
I haven't actually.
So it's when you get into so much shit and you're just like fucking almost complacent, but you have tombstone courage where you're just like, nothing fucking happened. It's nothing's going to happen. I'm fucking,
oh man.
Like Teflon, everything rolls off me. Nothing sticks.
Yeah,
you get fucking tombstone courage. You're just like fucking big dicking it up there. And next thing you know, you're getting fucking popped or hurt.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I've always said that, like, if Syria didn't kill me, this won't, you know? And yeah. And so I guess that works. I guess I never heard that. But, you know, I'm sitting there and you always saw drones. Like, drones were always flying around. You're always seeing, like, turkeys attack helicopters flying around. I got this really bright light in my nods, you know, looked like somebody lit a cigarette, but it was way bigger than a motherfucking cigarette.
Right.
And, and it wasn't like a normal tracer. And I see it, you know, fly over and I hit brake. And I said, like, I have a possible, like my instant thought was a rocket tracer, you know, that, you know, flew pretty close. And as I'm saying that, I see at least like 10 more, you know, coming over in the same, going the same direction. They weren't anywhere close to us. We couldn't hear a fucking thing. But once we started being able to see everything, you were seeing it without the nods. There were so many motherfucking rockets going over. And then we started hearing splash. We started hearing them hitting the ground and everything. We started hearing the explosions. And my OT comes running down to the truck. And we're plotting like where this thing is landing. We're trying to figure out like where it's coming from and we're calling it up and everything. And LT, he ended up becoming like one of my best friends. LT Hunt, he made the executive decision that we could see the impacts from Mud Dog Mountain because they were landing like kind of right in between that valley. We fucking packed everything up and raced over to Mud Dog Mountain. And like, as we're moving in this patrol, we're moving fucking fast, ducking and diving through the villages and everything. You're still watching them. And now we're able to see.
You're mounted, right? At this point.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm on the 50. Luckily I had a doghouse. I loved my little doghouse turret. But now we're able to see the impacts and I mean, you didn't need the nods anymore. Like it was fucking bright. And the way you were able to come up to the mountain is you would come in from the side and come from behind it. And there was a makeshift trail that they put up there.
Right.
So you can get all the way and still be concealed. You're not like silhouetting yourself. And our plan was we get up there, we fucking dump the dismounts. We keep our trucks concealed and we start figuring out who this is impacting, where this is coming from. And by the time we get up there, I mean, you're hearing these rounds hit, like it was loud as fuck. And my butt was puckering for sure. And then we had even bigger rounds coming in from somewhere else. We couldn't tell where they were coming from, but they were big. And it started like, we got our OP set up and everything like that. I'm still in the truck. So at this point I have the 3 truck in front of me. He's faced at the 12. I'm the middle truck being the 1. I'm faced at the 9, and then I have two truck and 3 truck behind me. I have the 3 truck facing the 3. And so I'm facing over the mountain and I'm watching everything light up, everything impact. I'm hearing it. I'm feeling it. And, you know, there's always that, like, I wonder if like any of these are going to get close to us, but it doesn't seem like it. Like, it doesn't seem like anything's going to really get close enough to us because they don't even know we're there at this point. We're rolling dark,
right?
No lights, nothing. And
just using nods, or are we using white hot or black hot or
nods?
Is it white hot? Have you ever used the white hot or black hot or whatever the fuck that
in the is? Bradley, that's how the driver sees at night. Yeah, they use the white hot. Yeah.
So we had that awesome in our tracks. It's fucked that. It's horrible, dude. There's zero depth perception, bro.
That's training, the fun in it.
Rolled our shit, dude.
Yeah, when we had to go NTC, I was a driver in NTC, and I almost rolled our shit a couple of times because you can't see a fuck thing. I'd pop my hatch.
It's scary.
I'd pop my hatch and be able to look out with the nods sometimes. But yeah.
So that's good. You guys are using fucking nods instead of that white hot bullshit. That sucks.
Yeah. Like our platoon sergeant was, he was in Desert Storm and he was the most knowledge, like proficient motherfucker. Right. So I felt really safe with him. I loved that dude. I still love him today. But things started to slow down a little bit with the impacts, but the big ones were still coming in and impacting around the same area and then kind of impacting where the rockets were coming in from. And we kind of started trajectorying like that this was coming from Turkey's side of the flot. And we're like, okay, this is kind of fucking weird. And we had our OP, we had one of the guys, he had a really nice camera. And he was recording through his nods, watching the impacts in the valley and everything. I mean, they were hitting houses. They were hitting like anything they could hit. And he's recording it. And there's a couple breaks within the impacts. And all of a sudden, like, you can find the video on YouTube. All of a sudden, like, you can hear this round come in. And it hits. It had to be 50 meters away from our OP. That thing hits. You have an impact. And at the time, we thought, like, that thing just hit and barely exploded, you know, and the OP starts breaking down instantly. But me in the truck, what I saw is, you know, I saw a flash and my truck riddled with rocks. And I kind of, like, fell back into the turret a little bit because what I was doing at that point was I was relaying from the OP, being in the one truck, I was relaying from the OP going down the FBCV2, typing to the... to our CP, typing all the information I was getting from the OP. So I'm bopping back and forth, you know, trying to relay information. And I was on my way down to go type a message. And that's when the flash hit. It lit up like daylight. And the rocks started hitting. I was like, holy fuck, my lead truck just got hit. You know, like I was terrified that my lead truck had just gotten hit. And I stood up and I looked over through my doghouse and they were still there. And I called over to them. And as soon as I called over to him, he said, "What the fuck was that?" And I was like, "All right, that idiot's fine." but I started getting, you know, radio chatter that the OP's breaking down. We're getting the fuck out of there. Because really, our ROE was bullshit. We had to get shot at and weapon confirmation before we could fire back.
Right. So you're getting hit with a rocket. You're like, I can't see where it's coming from, so I can't shoot back, but I'm
getting we had to run.
Decimated.
Yeah. So
our, not even covering fire, like leaping overwatch, bounding overwatch.
We had to know where it was coming from.
Covering fire.
Had to know where it's coming from. We couldn't do shit. So that was very unsettling, you know, not like if we didn't know where it was coming from or we couldn't confirm a weapon, like we could just be getting riddled and we can't do anything but turn away. And that was really, that pissed us off a lot. But anyways,
You guys couldn't get like any eyes in the sky?
No, we didn't really have assets. No, we were left out to dry, like completely left out to fucking dry. Like we didn't have any JTAC with us. We didn't have any high speed, you know, like the most we can do was call up our mortars, but I don't think they could even, cause we had a little mortar platoon with us and I don't think they could have reached as far as we went out. Like,
right.
There's no way. And so the OP breaks down, they fucking finally get back into the truck and we hightail it the fuck out of there. Nobody's saying a goddamn word. Like we're hightailing it out of there. We get back to the FOB, which was, I don't know, it felt like 20 hours, but it was only like 20 minutes maybe, you know, and everybody's like eyes in the sky, like make sure you see fucking everything, make sure we're not getting followed. And that was a really scary moment because we thought that, you know, if that was going to follow us, like we were going to lead them right back to the FOB and it was going to follow us. And lo and behold, nothing happened that night. You know, we got our platoon sergeant told us not to take it personally, which I didn't really know what he meant by that at the time. Like,
take running with like tucking your tail between your legs and running away like personal.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we can't fucking see. We gotta get the fuck out of here before we get fucked up. Yeah, exactly. I think that's what he meant.
Yeah. And at the time I didn't. I was like, don't fucking take it personally. We almost lost most of our platoon. Like, don't take it personally. Right. But I respected him, so I just fucking listened instantly. And, you know, I couldn't sleep that night. I don't think any of us really slept that night. You know, we also had guard because nobody else was doing it. And so we get word in the middle of the night that the next morning, the following morning at daybreak, we're going to go over there to impact. You know, we're going to go get a fucking BDA. We're going to bring... there was EOD at KLZ. We're going to call EOD out. We're going to go bring them with us, get a BDA, figure out what the fuck happened. And before we can even do that, the Kurdish roll up to our gate early ass in the morning. They roll up to our gate and say, hey, you know, during that attack last night, there was a round that skit that like had missed and went into the town that was behind the mountain. So y'all need to come deal with this, you know, come look at it and deal with it. We're like, oh, fuck. Okay. So it was kind of following us, you know. And so we go up there to the mountain and everything. And, you know, they had continued to hit the mountain after we had left. And like you can just tell, I mean, the Kurdish had a bulldozer up there. That thing was pretty fucked up. And there was just impacts.
Were the impacts right where you guys were?
Pretty fucking close. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you guys would have stayed, it would have been the safe bet that people would have got pretty fucking hurt.
Oh, absolutely. Like that's
good call on your fucking special need.
Yeah. So we go up there and the Kurdish, they are fearless people, man. Like I respect the hell out of these people. Like one day they had found a big old like chem round, a mortar chem round, and they picked it up off the ground, put it in their lap, and they hopped on a moped. And they brought it over to us, said, we got to explode it. And we're like, whoa, dude, like, you can't be like running around with this thing. They were fearless.
Dude, drive that shit out there.
Wait. Yeah. I have a video of the guy like pulling past my truck, just holding this big old chem round. Like it was as big as his torso. And they're just rolling around with it. Huh?
Send it over. We'll post it.
Yeah, for sure. I'll send it over to you. Yeah. I got a bunch of videos I could send you, but
do it.
You know, we went over there to find impact, and what we got from the EOD guys, because the Kurdish had brought this round over to us, and the round they brought to us was a 155 artillery round.
Big motherfucker.
Like, you know, a big motherfucker, dude. And, like, they brought it over, and it was a NATO round. And they had brought it over to us. And said, this is the one that was in the town behind the mountain. And the EOD guys got pissed because the fuse hadn't decompressed all the way. And that was, right. It was a live 155 round that they're just looking around. They brought it to our platoon. Like our whole platoon went out there at that point and they just brought it over to us. And we're all just standing, like our trucks are right there. Everybody's right there. Like they could have fucked up a lot of us. But what we got from the EOD guys is that's the round that we saw the impact on, because if that round would have exploded where it was, most of our OP would have gotten hit with at least shrapnel, and our trucks would have gotten hit with shrapnel and, you know, could have taken out our trucks.
You guys would have been pretty fucked up. So that was like an act of God saving a lot of your guys' lives, because that thing would have exploded right next to you. It would have been a lot more than just a little bit of rocks splashing your trucks.
And it gets better that, you know, this round apparently came in on just the right trajectory that it fused. It sheared the fuse off. And so it like when it hit, it sheared it off and it skipped.
Wow.
So the impact we saw and felt and everything was it hitting the ground, but skipping. And it had skipped in between my truck and the lead truck and went into the town behind the mountain. You know, I have the video of them EOD disposing of that round. But I mean, that was only a couple weeks in. And at that point, we're like, holy fuck, we got complacent. Because, you know, our platoon motto is like, you get complacent, people start fucking dying. Yeah. And that was... oh fuck moment. Like we need to get our shit together.
Yeah.
And I still to this day don't know how the fuck that happened. I'm so internally grateful that it happened that way because nobody died.
Well, absolutely.
But holy fuck, man. You know, and to figure out it was a NATO round and Turkey knew we were there.
Yeah.
So like was it Turkey just being fucking assholes hoping they get one? And
who knows, dude? You never eat the dark, you can't see.
Yeah, you can't fucking see. Especially since we were rolling black, you know, they could have been like, oh, we didn't see them. We had big American flags flying. You had to have seen us.
Right.
Yeah, that, you know, being a 20-year-old, you know, finally getting what I wanted to get, getting into that combat. And then that happening, I was like, all right, like, keep it coming, you know, so we can retaliate.
Right, because you also have it in the back of your mind, all right, we got complacent, but if we don't get our feet wet soon, we might get complacent again.
Exactly. And not to forget that I also had like that feeling I wasn't going home. And so that happening so close, I was like, all right, when's my number up? You know, like that was fucking close. That was the little warning, you know, hey, here it right. comes. You know, when's my number coming?
Right. Like we've all seen Final Destination. If you haven't, you should go yeah. watch those classic movies. Okay. Yeah.
There's about young, 20 so of them. Classics. Yeah.
Yeah. They're fucking crazy, but you always see it. And I always tell my wife when we're joking, I'm like, hey, you don't walk on that, dude. That's Final Destination shit. You know, yeah. you always have a close call and you're like, how many close calls am I going to get?
Yeah.
Before one gets on the money.
At one point, you know, when's it going to be it? And that wasn't the only time they fucking artilleried that mountain. At one point, like we knew they were showing us a sign because they did it in broad daylight and you could see the mountain from our fob. And we were sitting up on the roof just watching the impacts hit this mountain. They're like, come back, go ahead and come back. And so we took that we took personally.
Right. You're like, ah, you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Dangling that carrot. And you're like, I want to bite. But then they have your fucking position.
Yeah.
Your paws like on fucking lock. You go back. You're about to get fucked up.
Yeah, that's when we stopped going there as often. We kind of let the mountain cool down a little bit because they clearly showed that they knew exactly where we were sitting.
Yeah, and how were you guys able to push out and do any kind of patrols, or were you just basically there to like sit in the fob, do minor patrols around, do some scouting stuff to keep it safe for SF dudes, or?
No, we were kind of like asking them to shoot at us. Like that was kind of our job to. You know, figure out where they're at, like make them shoot at us, figure out where they are so we can, you know, we wouldn't be able to cross a you know, an invisible line, but we would have been able to do what we do, you know? But yeah, like we just did a lot of like flopping the dick on the table, like come get us.
Right.
Which that always felt great. I loved it. Just shoving it in their face. You know, the flags flying, like we had the nice flags with like the, what's the word I'm looking for? But it has like the yellow all around it, like the yellow fringe, all right. around the flag. We had those nice ass flags just flapping, you know, showing the big dick energy of America. And right. that was always great. I loved that. But, you know, in another butt puckering instance, it was a couple of weeks after that, you know, it wasn't my section going out, but I asked my platoon sergeant that if I can be a dismount for him. And he's like, absolutely, like, come out with me, you know, I'll show you some shit. And I was a dismount for his truck, pretty much his RTO. And we were going through, I forgot what town name it was. But we were rolling through a village and our patrol just stopped, and you know, being the Ford truck, he was in the very back, and so mm-hmm. we had to wait for, you know, a radio to figure out what the hell is going on. And so my platoon sergeant and I and the terp that was sitting next to me, we had to get out and walk up front because there was a bunch of civilians stopping our patrol and like being frantic and crying and shit, which, you know, everybody's told you don't stop in the middle of the open when civilians like stop you because you don't know if they're, They all dress the same. There's not uniforms.
No,
you know, there's no uniforms. And so
you want to get in a choke point where they create one and you're just fucked. And now your whole unit's a sitting duck.
Yeah. Now you're pretty much done in, you know, they take out that rear truck. You know, you only got one direction to go and that's towards the enemy. And we were like, let's take it back to the ROE. We were never able to roll hot. Like, we were never red. We never had one in the chamber on anything.
What?
So, yeah, we weren't able to roll red.
So that's another fucking, like, cops, we could call it condition one, fucking one in the chamber. But you're in a fucking hot zone, mm-hmm. going outside of the wire, I guess. Mm-hmm. And you have to roll with just a magazine.
Just the magazine in. Yep.
And you can't fucking chamber around.
Nope, you cannot. You can't chamber around like you know.
That's what the fucking safety's for.
Right. Fuck? Right.
Come on, man. You pay all this money, this thousands, billions, millions, trillions of dollars, whatever the fuck the amount is, to train these troops, U.S. troops, yet you won't let them give them the responsibility of just keep your finger straight off the trigger until you're ready to fire.
What?
Keep
it's the trigger integrity? Like,
yeah, like, come on, like,
keep it off the fucking trigger and don't get trigger happy. Like, you've trained us for this for years at this point.
That's fucking ridiculous.
It was fucking ridiculous. You know,
that's like asking cops to go out and be like, hey, guys, you're going to go out, but you can't have one in the chamber because we always carry one in the chamber and then we top off our mag and put it back in. So 17 plus one in a Glock 17. Or, you know, you're in a fucking 40, 15 plus one, or a fucking 45, and it's what, like 9 plus one or some shit. You roll with one in the fucking chamber because if a shit goes down, you don't need to be, you don't want to be fucking around. Chamber around. You just want to be able to get up on target, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's fucking great, dude. That blows my mind.
Yeah, wow. even with the turrets, you know, we couldn't have one chambered.
That 50 is a bitch, too.
Yeah, so with the 50, you know, I had the belt in there, and I had the tooth engaged, but...
Okay, so you just have to pop it one more time.
Yeah, I would have to fucking rack it back and be able to ride. But that bothered the piss out of me, dude. I hated it. Fucking hated it.
Oh, for sure.
I felt like we all felt like children.
You're naked out there, dude.
Yeah. And anyways, we're walking up to this fucking lady, like, screaming, crying, being fucking dramatic. And our terp is saying that, you know, she's saying that people came in and took over her house and released all of her sheep and goats and stuff like that. And it wasn't us, you know, and it wasn't the Kurds because the Kurds are with us. So we're like, oh, okay. You know, now we have to go, we might have to get into contact here. And, so where this road was, we had the road here and it's off to our 3 o'clock it was a bunch of olive groves in Syria. And honestly, like Syria was kind of pretty. it was, you know, in the non war torn areas, it was kind of pretty. And so we had a bunch of olive groves off to our 3 o'clock. And then farther off to our 3 o'clock was where this house was. Like, it was through the groves up a hill and where this house was. And there was not really a way to get to it on our vehicles. And so the platoon sergeant looks at me and he says, grab two more dismounts. We're going. I was like,
oh shit.
I was like, all right, fuck it. Fine. Let's go. You know? And I'd still, like, if I was still with him today, trust my life with that man. And so we're rolling and we're kind of like in a wedge.
So are you guys getting ready to go do like a civil affairs thing, take a stack full of money and go start, you know, paying people off to get info?
No. We were, I think at that point we're doing a presence and then we're going to stop at a checkpoint for a couple of hours and then turn around. But at this point it had turned into, we're going to go clear that house and eliminate whoever just fucking did this. But still nothing in the chamber until, my platoon sergeant, I was right next to him and he turns at me and he goes, Hamill, go red. And like, I got hard. It was instant, just hard. I was like, Roger, you know, and I racked it back. I obviously was still on safe. Everybody, I was still on safe, but everybody went red. But it kind of threw the trucks off because we went into the Olive Grove and they couldn't see us. They didn't know where we were going. And so they're trying to get into radio contact with us. And they're like fucking whipping around trying to find us and shit like that. And we're just rolling. Like we don't give a fuck at this point. And you know, my mind's racing at this point. I'm like, I'm rolling in with my platoon sergeant, a terp, like these two older people, these two older civilians, and a couple more dispounts. And we're about to go clear this building. We have no idea what it looks like. We have no idea how many, you know, insurgents are in there. We have no idea like what we're walking up against. And I'm just going back to like clearing houses, you know, training and stuff like that. I'm like, all right, you know, if I'm the first man, you know, I gotta break and probably get shot, but it's fine. You know, like we'll keep going. First man always gets hit. Right. But I wanted to be first. I'd rather it be me than anybody else. And we're walking up, and it felt like forever. We're walking up to this building. We finally get eyes on it. And so we do the smart thing. We stop and we allow our trucks to come up and be able to be in range to support us. If anything goes down, we get eyes on the building. We watch it from like maybe 2 minutes, but they started yelling at us that we're taking too long. And that was a really uneasy feeling. Like, why are they trying to rush us so badly to get into there? And we roll up there, you know, and we kind of like really calmly walked up. And then the two people went inside and there's goats, there's sheep all over the fucking place being loud as fuck. We're like, what the fuck, man? And you know, you walk up to this building, you've got like a little shack over here, a little barn over here. And so like, you're looking everywhere. You're like, there's so many bad points here. Like there's no good point of views around. Right. And so like, you know, you just, your training mind takes over. You stop worrying, you stop being a bitch, and you just fucking training takes over. And, you know, once we saw them walk in there, you know, we all kind of relaxed, which was, you know, looking back on it, was kind of stupid because that still could have been a trap. We all kind of relaxed. We walked in, and luckily there was nobody there. We cleared this whole house. There was nobody there, which was kind of a fucking letdown, man. I got to go red and there wasn't anybody there. I was like, all right, now I got to drop this round out of my chamber before I go back. But that, we made that one of our checkpoints because we never found who did it. But we were always kind of like, we would always roll up quietly to that checkpoint, to only at night, to hope that like they would come up and like try to take that checkpoint or try to do whatever that they were doing in the initial, you know, situation again, so we could take them out. And it never fucking happened. You know, they were all just a bunch of pussies over there. They didn't want to do it. They didn't.
Well, that's a letdown.
Huh?
That's a letdown, right?
Yeah, oh my God, it was such a letdown. But yeah, I mean, near the end is when it got really hairy because, I mean, we were a couple of days out. And
leaving,
yeah, a couple of days out.
So that's when all the shit.
That's when all the shit took off, right? Because you know we have to go do gunnery. That's more important than keeping a mission ready platoon. You know where they've been, and you know, I have words about that. But
like when, like we're out here in country.
Yeah.
Why do all this fucking training?
Yeah, like why are you going to send a troop behind us to like take over and everything that hasn't been in the situation for this long, and you have to do the layover, you have to show them everything and everything like that, only for them to be there for like a month and a half, 2 months? Like, keep us there. We don't need to do gunnery right now.
That's what pre-deployment's for.
Exactly. But you know, squadron was a squadron, terrible squadron, but it was awful. Like our squadron was the squadron that our SCO and Command Sergeant Major lied on their taping and their PT test, and they got caught. You know, it was one of them squadrons.
Fucking solid, bro.
Yeah.
So what happens, dude? That's great. So what happens towards the end? Like you're a couple days out and shit starts hitting the fan. What happens?
So we roll up, and it was another overnight at this checkpoint, and it was like one of the brand new checkpoints too. And you know, we always got little glimpses of a T-72 that on the other side, that we found out that was ISIS controlled. It wasn't Turkey's or anything. It was ISIS's. And, yeah, cool. We would just get little glimpses of this thing. Like they were teasing it, you know, and, they're like, yeah, we got it, but you're not going to be able to see it because we probably don't know how to use it.
Right.
And so we're sitting there and we get eyes on this thing and it looks like it's off and we see a bunch of them, you know, running around. They notice that we're there. There's a bunch of them rolling around, going on top of the buildings. You know, we see them like actually getting ready to shoot at us. And we're
in
like,
the T-72 Soviet Union fucking tank.
Yeah. T-72, you know, they got, you know, we were able to, we had the LRES up there. So that thing's like 2000 K, like you can see anything with that fucking thing. And so we're seeing PKMs, we're seeing RPGs, AKs, and they're all like taking position. And we're like, oh yes, finally. Yes. You know? And so they did start shooting at us, but like they were so inaccurate and their weapon systems couldn't reach. But the tank hadn't started moving yet. And so they're shooting at us and there's tracers, you know, you're hearing the whiz, you know, a couple of them cracked. I love that sound. you know, you're just hearing the whiz and like, I don't know how they did it, but every single one of their rounds was just a tracer. You know, they didn't have non-tracer rounds.
Dude, they're just loading all tracers.
All tracers. I don't know what it was. I don't know if it made them feel cool. But they're so just
inaccurate. They needed it.
Yeah. They had no idea how to shoot. Cause they're all going above us. They're hitting low. I don't think one round hit the building, but, and so we were kind of joking about it. We're like, fuck these guys, you know, like they can't even like give us a fight. And then we see the T-72 start traversing towards us. We're like, ah, fuck, you know, like we just had to say something. We're like, they're not going to actually shoot it. They're not doing it. And this thing fucking shoots at us. this thing.
Like it's a big gun?
Yeah, the cannon. The cannon fucking takes a shot. and it was a collective like, oh, fuck. You know, you saw the flash and then you see the round, you know, go, you know, it completely missed us.
Dude.
But we're like, oh, fuck, they actually did it. Like, holy shit.
Oh, fuck. You know how to use it.
Yeah, they know how to aim. Use the same. Yeah. And so.
Did you guys hit it with the 50 and then fucking light it up with the 40 mic mic?
So we didn't have any 40s. Like, we only, like, fuck, they didn't even give us that, man. We only had two 40s and 50 cals on the trucks. That's all we had.
Cool.
And, dude, you know, we had a couple of 203s that we carried. But this thing shoots at us and, we're like, all right, if they shoot at us again, you know, we'll see where it's at. But we're going to, like, see, like, how they maneuver this thing. You know, we're going to try to get information. Lo and behold, they fucking shoot again. And they were walking it. They walked it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And they got it right above us this time. And they just had to bring it down. I mean, it, like, you see this fucking thing going. We're like, oh, fuck. And so that's when we started getting really excited. And we're, like, trying to figure out, like, it, like, is that considered like confirmation, you know, ROE, you know?
Dude, you have a fucking tank shooting at you.
Yeah. The new army though, man, you have to ask, you literally have to ask if you can shoot back. That's how, like, it was foretold to us.
Hey, we have one of the biggest guns out here shooting at us. Can we fucking shoot at it?
Can we do that?
They're walking it on target.
Yeah. And so, we get the okay. And we just start ripping with the 50 and the 240. We're ripping at the same. But, you know, since we got the okay, it was also break down. You know, you can do cover fire, but break down. And so we started returning fire, you know, we were talking with the weapon systems as the OP was breaking down. And right. I mean, they didn't stop with this T-72. They're like, and they just kept walking the same on us. And by the time we had gotten everybody back in the trucks, you know, we had gotten pretty low on our belts and we were hightailing it out of there. And by the time we had gotten everybody in and we're getting ready to get out, like that, like one of the final rounds, like you heard it. That's a noise I won't forget. You know, that's, you heard that shit. And then, you know, they kept going as we're pulling away. You know, they just kept going with that fucking tank, and we luckily got the fuck out of there, and everybody got to come home to go do gunnery. You know,
but was your 50s hitting it?
No, I don't think we actually made contact because, like, we didn't have the PAS 13s on them. You know, we never threw those on there. And everything was such a, you know, like the flash, you know, from the fire itself, you know, would blind the piss out of you. And so you'd kind of have to like close your eyes and then open and look. And by that time, the rounds were already fucking burnt out. And so we were just shooting in the general direction, you know, hoping something was happening.
Right.
And we got the fuck out of there. But
dude, too bad you guys couldn't call in any air or artillery or anything to just fucking decimate them.
The only cool air thing that we had was after I completely passed this after the whole mountain situation where they almost hit us. We had A-10s do a show of force. We had A-10s come on. They were dumping. They would come around us, go kind of right on the flat, come low and dump their flares. And they did that at night a couple of times. So that was like the only air like situation that we had. Like we didn't have time, the resources to fucking call anything up.
That's
because like the KLZ, the landing zone, we didn't have any artillery there that had no long range weapon systems. I can't even tell you where the nearest air base was to that, you know, where we could get fucking Apaches or the A-10s or anything, but obviously we could do it, but we didn't have the resources to call it up as far as I know.
Damn, but that sucks.
Yeah. I mean, like if it all comes back down, like SF ended up coming back and like that SF unit was awesome. They came, they came in on a Black Hawk right outside of the FOB, landed. It was the SF general. He comes just strolling out of the cloud like a bad motherfucker. and he ended up coming back and they supplied us. They gave us a fucking kitchen. They gave us tents. They gave us showers, laundry. And they actually ended up giving us more rounds too. So like we felt a little safer by the time that we were getting ready to leave. But it took SF, you know, coming to support a unit that they didn't even really care about. And our unit just saying like, good luck, have fun. Type of thing. We didn't have any assets.
So you finally get into that sucks, but you finally get into contact that you can actually see, and now you see a fucking tank.
Yeah.
Soviet Union fucking tank, and it's shooting at you. How did it make you feel knowing that you just had to sit there and fucking throw some rounds back and then you have to like, all right, we gotta leave?
It was demoralizing, dude. Because you know, this whole time our mission was show of force, dick on the table. You know, who's got the bigger dick? That's the whole mission, you know, and we're the big bad America. You know, we're fucking coming in to be everybody's daddy. You know, and then like we have to get confirmation before we can even shoot back at this tank that could just decimate us in fucking 2 minutes. And so it was.
What if it would have got on with that first round? You got to be fucked.
Oh my God. If it got on with that first round, taking out the building, our leaders of that section were up there. So that would have left the most senior guy. And that would have been one of us in the turret to be in charge. And then we would have had to get a BDA, you know, see who the fuck is alive up there to be able to extract and call it up and everything. Like it would have been a shit show. And not even be able to, and probably get in trouble for shooting back without getting confirmation first. So
that's some bullshit, dude.
It was fucking aggravating as hell. Like we went through that whole thing, like worrying, like I remember there was a mission that I was more worried about my gun going off and getting in trouble for it rather than getting into contact. Because like, you don't know what can happen. You know, like if you do something wrong, you know, you're in the dirt, you know, you're fucked over.
No, I know the feeling. And that's not a feeling you should have when you have guys in theater in country fucking operating. That should not be in the back of their fucking head. Mm-mm. Right. You should give them the training and the respect that they deserve to know when to shoot, when not to shoot, And give them the assets that they need to, in case they encounter something like a fucking tank, they can destroy that fucking thing, because that not only leaves the next people coming to replace you at a disadvantage, but it makes the other opposing side feel like they just won up the United States, and then they have the big dick and they're like, fuck with the snow.
Yeah. You they're going to go promote thing. That shit.
Yeah. You know, like
we were all scared. I hate using the word scared, but we're all worried to the point that, like, when we were rolling through villages and shit like that, obviously you had to have your gun elevated. But me personally, I had, like, I was holding on to the 50. I would have one hand, one finger holding the safety, you know, towards the safe direction, and my thumb pushing up on the butterfly trigger. So, like, I wouldn't accidentally, like, I don't know how it would happen without me charging the handle, but I was so worried that, like, you know,
you'd send a round off.
And, you know, that there was a lot of points that you were more worried to fucking shoot around rather than get shot at. And that pissed
me off. Fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So you guys took, you guys take any small arms fire?
Oh, most of the time we went out to checkpoints during the day, we took small arms, but it was never accurate. There was the closest thing that happened, like it would hit a building next to us. Like, they were never accurate. It was like, run around the corner, dance around, pull the trigger a couple times, and then run away.
And you could never get like confirmation to send it back so you could shoot back.
No, they would dump it. You had to have
no fucking reason.
Yeah, you had to have like in this moment confirmation what's going on, to like your lives had to actively be in danger for you to go red and effectively fire back.
Right. So they want a sustained gunfight for you to call it in while you're getting hit and taking rounds, for them to be like, okay, yeah, now you can engage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how lives get lost.
Yeah. Because like we were told that we weren't supposed to be there. And so we're like, well, what are we fucking doing here then? If we're not able to do our jobs to the fullest ability, what the fuck are we doing here?
Just recon. That's it.
Yeah. It was really demoralizing. A big letdown.
I bet. Well, at least you got to see a fucking tank shoot at you.
You're
like, I hope I
hit
it.
Yeah.
And then so now you get back, and now you're there, and you're doing the changeover, and showing all these guys. And while you're doing the changeover, was that at the time you're doing the changeover, those last couple days?
No, that was like right before they had gotten there.
Did you guys get in any contact when you're doing the changeover?
No, it got like we saw nobody. It was quiet as fuck. Nobody came out. You know, I don't like, we started getting bigger vehicles at that point too. Like, instead of the Humvees, they gave us the Matt V's. And
it's like that Max Pro thing that has that hydraulic ramp that comes down.
Yeah.
The back.
So we had two of those. Those were our medic vehicles with the Max Pros. And then they gave us like the new Matt V's and everything. But we didn't see anything on changeover. Now, when it comes to Comanche that did like came in behind us, I don't know if they had gotten anything. Didn't really talk to them much. I don't know if they had gotten anything while they were there for their short time of being there. It was like, it was almost like it got really aggravating because it felt like they were just sending people over to get that combat patch. Like, go ahead, get shot at, get the combat patch. No, it's not what it's about.
Right. No, it's not what it's about. You're gonna get people fucking hurt.
Exactly. You're putting people's lives in danger just to get a patch.
Yeah. So now you fly back, do gunnery, and then you guys get fat and happy and then bounce out and go back to the States.
Yeah. So we had gotten back, did our gunnery, shot Top Gun again. We go back to Arif John, and literally all that, it was an Air Force base. So they had all the cool fucking shit, but you know, just an extra kick in the dick. They put us on security where we had 24-hour mission. Well, not mission, but shifts, where we had to sit in this building that had a TV that you can watch. Like, we were watching the Cubs games, that you can watch TV, but you had to look at these computer screens that had like all the cameras on the outside of the base. And that's what we did. And like, we worked out, we ate, and we did that for, I think it was like maybe a month and a half, 2 months. And then we went home. And that was my deployment. you know, it really was, oh, this is going to be bullshit, to, oh, this is going to be fucking exactly what I asked for. I love every bit of this. We get there, it sucks, you know, this is what the army is, to what the fuck are we really doing here, to, all right, let's just go the fuck home. This is awful.
Right. Yeah. But you had some moments where you were like, fuck, dude, that was close. So yeah. It's not like you didn't see anything or nothing happened. Shit happened. It was just so fucking mismanaged that you weren't able to do exactly what you were trained to do.
Yeah.
And that's the shit part.
Yeah.
But that sucks, man. And, you know, I get the whole mismanaged thing, you know, in law enforcement, you get mismanagement and stuff like that, where you're not able to perform the duties that you need to do and stuff like that. So I 100% get it. And I get the whole military thing where you joined up to do one thing and you ended up not doing something that you joined up to do. So I 100% get it. But the important part is your whole unit made it back in one piece.
Yeah.
No, not even an injury. No one's disfigured, and everyone gets to go back and see their loved ones. And I mean, that's a win.
Yeah, absolutely.
Win in the book.
Who else like really gets to say that in a combat situation? So that definitely felt great to come home. And, you know, like when we got back, you know, we had this all like big ceremony where walk across the ceremony field and, you know, you greet all the families and everything. I didn't have anybody down there to greet me. But being able to see everybody go to their wives, their kids running up to them, it was such an amazing feeling. Like just being a squad leader, I was like, wow, like I was a part of that.
Right.
It felt so great to see everybody see the ones they came back for.
Those wives and those kids are going to remember that for the rest of their life, because their dad, their mom, or not their mom, but their dad came home. Their husband came home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, so that's a big what's thing.
Important.
That's very important. Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, as we're getting ready to get to the end of this, I want to ask if you have any last words, any last thoughts on your deployment or in the military in general.
Honestly, I have something about like getting out, because, you know, you and I both know when you get out, you're fucking nothing to the government, like pulling teeth to get any sort of guidance. But, you know, to those like getting out or thinking about getting in, like the resources are there. You just have to talk to the people that have done it already. Don't rely on the government or any VA thing to help you, you know, like transition in or out. You know, you have to rely on your brothers that have done it before you, because it's going to be fucking hard. There's no way around it. You're going to lose your identity. You can lose your brotherhood. You're going to lose everything that you are. You're going to lose everything you are. And that's one of the hardest things I've ever done, was getting out. Like getting out was harder than getting in. But you can't let the dark win. You just got to, it's always going to get better. You know, you just got to get to that point of letting it get better.
Yeah, you just got to fight for it. And to kind of piggyback on that, getting out, you're in the military and you're getting ready to get out, just know the shit that they tell you for me in Marine Corps, with SEPs and TAPs, and you're getting ready to get out and go through all that shit and the trainings and the stupid death by a PowerPoint. All that dumb stuff that really doesn't fucking matter. But what one thing they told me that really mattered was, when you're getting ready to get out, you are going to feel like you don't have an identity, and that civilians move at the fucking pace of a snail.
Oh my fuck. No sense of urgency.
No. And in the military, it's all hurry up and wait. Mm-hmm. But we get shit done at a pace that the fucking civilians in this country can't fucking comprehend, because they're slow as fuck. They're just
a god. They're just okay with existing.
Yeah. So just get ready to, just be aware of that, and try not to lose your shit when they're taking their sweet ass time to get something simple done that you could have already had done fucking in 2 minutes, and they're going to take fucking half hour to get it done. So just know that, and, you know, just take a fucking deep breath. Just know that they're nasty civilians, and
they don't care.
They don't have a sense of urgency.
No, nobody cares what you did. Nobody's going to give a fuck. You know, everybody's more important than the other in this world. So,
yeah. And that's a shitty truth. But, Julian, I want to thank you for coming on. As we get ready to close this out, I do have a dedication. Like we were talking at the beginning, just so many police officers have lost their lives in the line of duty this last week. So, it's a sad thing, and it's something that is just disheartening to deal with. You know, you see so many cops just going down and getting killed. It's just, we have so many. We have, you know, two from Texas, you know, 2 days apart, or a day apart, basically. Jesus. And then a couple days before, we have one in Chicago that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Fucking Idaho. And then you have California. Fucking, I don't know what that is. I don't know, like Indiana, New York, like it's fucking crazy. New York. It sucks. It's rough to deal with, but, because you're from Chicago, we're going to do a dedication for the officer that was lost in Chicago, our Chicago Police Department in Illinois. This goes out to Louis M. Huska. If I butchered that, I'm sorry, but police officer Louis Huska was shot and killed in the 3100 block of West 56th Street at about 2:55 a.m. while driving home following his shift. Other officers were alerted to the shooting by gunshot detectors in the area and located Officer Huska suffering from gunshot wounds. He was still in uniform, but his gun and badge had been stolen along with his personal vehicle. He was transported to the University of Chicago Medical Center, where he succumbed to his wounds. The subject or subjects are still at large. Officer Huska has served with the Chicago Police Department for 6 years and was assigned to the Calumet District Priority Response Team. He is survived by his mother and uncle. He was 30 years old, served 6 years, and they do not have his badge number. Well, rest easy, brother. We have it from here. And to give you guys out there that are cops, if you are driving home, and your department has issues with tint on your fucking front windows, because I know a lot of cops, we tint our front windows because we don't want people to see him. Because if we ever have to travel within uniform, we don't want people to see that. We all know coppers who worked the 2020 riots, that we were working hours upon hours upon hours, endless shifts, back to back to back to back with no days off for weeks at a time. And it was faster to de-louse at home, to don our gear at home and you know, don and doff our gear at home, because we wanted to get as much sleep as we could, whether that be 3 or 4 hours of sleep, then go back and do it all again. We were riding with our gear on to and from work. If your department has a problem with you tinting your front fucking windows, wear a jacket. If you drive from the station, be looking, be cognizant of, is there people waiting outside of the station? When you come into the station, is there people waiting outside? When you leave the station, is there people waiting outside? Is someone following you? If you think someone's following you, do some fucking quick hot laps around your division, around your station. Because if someone's following you, pull right back into your fucking station, radio that shit in. If you don't carry your radio off duty, have that fucking cell phone brought up. But if you're in an area where you think you might be ambushed, just bring your radio. Now, don't be responding to calls and shit like that off duty, but have your radio in case you have to put out, you know, officer needs help, fucking off duty officer needs help. I just left the station, give the station that you're at. That way you can get, you know, priority traffic to you fast as fuck. And in complacency, don't be complacent, but conceal your badge, conceal your uniform. We had an incident where a guy was leaving our station, and I know the guy personally, and he was ambushed down the street from our station, took 3 or 4 rounds into his car. He was able to lose a suspect and call in for officer needs help, shots fired call. And we were able to get to him, and he was uninjured, thankfully. Wow. But his car was fucked up. And it just goes to show you that people are out there delaying in wait, wanting to kill cops. So do everything in your power to protect yourself. I know this is kind of a long dedication, but I just want people to be protected out there, and coppers to be protected. And whatever you do, you know, just be protected, and definitely have that strap on you, have your gun on you when you're leaving the station. I work some pretty nasty areas. and I would ride with that thing between my fucking legs. It was tucked under my leg, and if shit was to pop off, I had it ready to rock and roll. And then once I know, I was like, okay, I'm on the freeway, I'm okay, I feel a little bit safe. You know, I'd put it in the center console, I'd put it in my fucking door, or I'd put it back in my waistband. But that motherfucker was ready to rock right there. And it was in a holster, but I just had that, you know, that that situational awareness to know that shit can happen. And I came in at a time where officers were being ambushed too. So, and that was prior to what I was talking about earlier. And I'm not going to get into that, but coppers were being killed. And so we knew, like, and we were working in a city where our station did not have the high ground. Everywhere around us had high ground on top of us. So if we really wanted to be ambushed coming out of the station, we were fucked. So just be cognizant of that. Know your surroundings, protect yourself, carry a radio on you if you have one. If you can leave the station with it, leave it. And just in case that happens, in case you get ambushed, and cover up your equipment and your badge so no one knows that you're a cop when you're leaving. Yeah. Or if you can, have some tinted windows. But as we're closing out, I just want to say thank you everyone for listening. Stand by. My phone just took a crap on me.
Never stop training either. Can never be trained enough. Damn it.
Exactly. And I see so many cops, they get into the fights and use of forces on TV, and they don't know Brazilian jiu-jitsu or any type of jiu-jitsu. And I'm sitting there yelling, like, throw your fucking hooks in. And the suspect's in, like, wiggling out. I'm like, dude, you had him. All you had to do is throw hooks in, and, you know, you're good, you know. But I want to say thank you everyone for listening today. If you like today's podcast and the content we provide, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, really whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. We're available on all major podcasting platforms as well as on YouTube. Rating and reviewing is how we grow and how this podcast gets in front of more eyes. If you all already follow us on Instagram and Facebook, please follow us on Instagram. Or if you don't, follow us on Instagram at @war_stories_official and our Facebook at War Stories Podcast. You can follow our stuff, share our stuff. You can go to the link in the bio on both of those. You can reach our podcast, our website, our YouTube, our emails. For if you have questions, you can go to the mailbag email, which is links in that bio on Instagram and Facebook. And you can go to the booking.warstories, which is at the bottom of the screen if you're watching on YouTube. If you're not, I'll go ahead and give it out. You can support us by going to www.warstoriesofficial.com and grab some gear. Again, that is www.warstoriesofficial.com. Grab some gear. Help support us that way. You can also go to booking.warstories@gmail.com so I can get you booked. We are always looking for veterans, law enforcement, firefighters, medics, but also corrections officers, dispatchers, and nurses. If you have a friend who you think would be a great fit, give them that booking email. Get us connected. And I can get them booked as well. Thank you for the support, everyone. Stay safe.
Stay safe for sure.
Yeah. Well, as we close out, dude, do you have any final words?
No, man, I really appreciate, you know, what y'all do. I appreciate having me, you know, get my platoon story out there. I know it wasn't all that fun or interesting, but, you know, it was great to talk about it and talk with y'all and, you know.
You know, it's great. We don't get to talk to many people who were, you know, went to Syria or on the border of Syria and dealing with all that stuff. And it's good to let other people know that are getting ready to join. You know, ROEs are constantly ever changing, and just to hear the craziness about that is just, wow, that's just, it's, your eyes are open. It was a good story, dude. So don't discount yourself. You guys got, you guys took contact, you guys took fire. You guys got home safe, and you know, who gets to say they were shot at by a fucking T-72 Soviet Union fucking tank?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I guess. Yeah. That's a point.
Yeah. But as always, come home with your shield or on it.